Praise the Lord, everyone. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Praise God. We are going to open with a prayer before we do anything else. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee, O God, that thou hast brought us here once again, for we know that we are so blessed for this opportunity to be in thy presence. And I pray, O God, that thy Spirit would be here this morning, and I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Help us, O Lord, to put our complete faith and our trust in thee, and to obediently worship thee, O God. For we know, O God, that thou art seeking those that will worship thee in spirit and in truth. We ask, O God, that each and everything we do here this day would be done according to thy perfect will and thy perfect plan. And we ask for thy blessing upon this service. In Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start in the chorus book this morning. If I can find the chorus book, that is. Oh, it's right here. Praise God. We are going to open to number 91 and sing Without Him. Number 91. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide.
could see and make my life what it ought to be. Oh, Jesus, abide with me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. We're going to now turn to our Melodies of Praise hymnals, if you can find one of those. And we're going to turn to number 163 and sing I Need Thee Every Hour. to God. Well, we're going to turn now to number 8 and sing Showers of Blessing, number 8. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 84 and sing More Abundantly. Number 84. Are you trusting Jesus all along the way? Does he grow more precious to your heart each day? Are you his disciple? Test his word and see. He will give the Spirit more abundantly. More abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly.
abundantly, that they might have life and more abundantly. For his matchless favor, magnify the name of our gracious Savior, who from glory came. Let the saints adore him for this wondrous word, sealing our redemption through the crimson flood. More abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly. Come to him believing, hearken to his call, all from him receiving, yield to him your all. Jesus will accept you when to him you flee. He will grant his blessings more abundantly. More abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly. Praise the Lord. The Lord. Oh yes, Jesus came to give us life and more abundantly. He came to seek and to save. He came to redeem us. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn now to number 240 and sing My Redeemer, number 240. Triumphant power, I'll tell how the victory. and death and hell. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and His heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God, with Him to be. Sing, oh sing,
God. Well, I tell you what, it's amazing how fast, how quickly time goes when you're worshiping God, and I'm just stunned to see that it's already about 10:15, so, or pardon me, 10:25. And what we should do now is take up the collection. Chuck, could you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for all that Thou hast done for us, for Thy love and Thy care towards us. For we know, O God, that we would be helpless and lost without Thee. And I pray, O God, that Thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things. I pray that Thy hand would continue to be upon this ministry. Help us to know what to do in the days ahead. And give us Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy mighty name. And I pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this morning and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. You know, it's such a wonderful thing to be able to worship the Lord. I was reading an article the other day, and it was kind of amazing to me. They were talking about how some churches nowadays are actually, they have their worship services, and they have these bands come in, and the music is so loud, they do it on purpose so that people can't hear themselves sing. They say that if they do it that way, people will be more likely to worship. But you know what? We don't need our ears to bleed. Praise God. We're a little old-fashioned here, but it's a wonderful thing to be able to worship God. And you know, I love these old songs that we sing. Each one really has a message all of its own, a sermon all of its own. So I'm just so thankful that we have this opportunity to worship God. Praise the Lord. And we do have a couple of prayer requests that we're going to bring before the Lord before we get started in the Word. And actually, we'll sing one more song at two. But we're going to pray for Tori and Sophie. They're not here today. They are home today and they are sick. So we're going to pray for them. And also, we're going to pray once again for Joe's dad, Jim. He's undergoing chemotherapy for lung cancer, and they're going to be doing some further testing to see how far it's spread. So we're going to also bring Jim before the Lord as well. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning on behalf of Tori and Sophie, praying, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven and strengthen them. We pray, O God, that thou would heal them completely, for we know, O God, that thou art a healer, a deliverer, a mighty working God. We know that by thy stripes we are healed, and we know that nothing is too hard for thee. So we pray, O God, for Tori and Sophie right now, asking, O God, for thy comfort and thy strength and thy mighty hand to be upon them. Help them, we pray, and lift them up, we ask, and we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. And Father in heaven, we also come before thee in prayer this morning on behalf of Jim, praying, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven, talk to his soul. We know, O God, that cancer is a very serious problem, but we know, O God, that nothing is too hard for thee. We know that thou art the creator of this universe. We know that thou made all things. And we know, O God, that thou made all things well. We believe on thee as our healer. We believe on thee as our God and our Savior. And we trust in thee completely. We pray, O God, that Jim would reach out to thee and put his faith and his trust and his hope in thee. For we know, O God, that thou art a miracle worker. And we ask, O God, that all would go well with these treatments. We pray, O God, that thou would guide the doctor's hands and guide the doctor's minds. Help them to know how to proceed in each and everything. We ask for thy mercy and for thy grace to be upon Jim. We pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song, and why not go to number 135 and sing "Tis So Sweet," the trust in Jesus, number 135. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's time to get started in the Word, and I always look forward to this so much. We are so blessed to have this book to set before us. It's a wonderful thing that we're able to read this book anytime we want, any day. You can get up in the morning, you can read the Bible. You can take a break in the afternoon and read the Bible. You can even read the Bible in the evening or read the Bible before you go to sleep. In fact, that is a wonderful time to read God's Word, because then you'll fall asleep thinking about God's Word. Praise the Lord. But we are going to be going into the Scriptures, and we have been studying the Gospel of John. It's such a blessed book. You learn so much about Jesus and His life and what He did when He was here on earth. And of course we know that He is still alive today. He is alive forevermore. And no one is ever going to kill Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The devil has been defeated. That was done on the cross of Calvary. And by the way, I do want to mention that next Saturday at 6 o'clock, we are going to be having our Passover service. So those of you who can make it for that, for our communion service, we're looking forward to that greatly. It'll be a time of remembrance of what Jesus did for us. Praise God. But this book of John that we've been looking at teaches us so much about Him, and we find so much in here that you won't find in the other synoptic Gospels. And really, this whole book of John, what it's really about is the divinity of Jesus Christ. He is the great I Am. He is God. In fact, what does verse 1 of John chapter 1 tell us? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then a few verses down, it tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So yes, that means Jesus is God. I know a lot of people don't believe that, and a lot of people will fight you on that, but it is the truth. And as you read the Gospel of John, He reveals Himself. Jesus Christ reveals Himself as God. He reveals Himself as the great I Am, that same I Am who spoke to Moses from that burning bush all the way back in the book of Exodus. In fact, in the Gospel of John, I've mentioned this before, but you find seven I Am statements. I am the bread of life.
I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. And of course, we know at one point, he looked right at those Jews, those elitists, those religious scribes, Pharisees, and he told them before Abraham was, I am. Thus identifying himself as the one who has always existed. The I am. So we're going to be opening in the book of John chapter 10 in just a moment. But before we read even one verse, we're going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy goodness, thy mercy, thy grace. We thank thee, O God, for this wonderful book that thou hast given us. And I pray, O God, that we would be mindful of thee as we study thy word. I pray that we would be fixated on thee and focused on thee completely. I pray, O God, that thou would anoint our eyes. I pray, O God, that thou would anoint our minds. Make us ready, O God, to hear what thou hast for us today. Give us the spirit of discernment. Let thy spirit be upon us. Let us all be filled with the Holy Ghost. We pray. We ask, O God, for thy perfect will to be done. We pray that there would be no hindrances here this morning, no hindering powers. We bind and we break any forces of darkness that would come against us, knowing, O God, that thou art in control. And we put our faith and our trust in thee. And I pray, O God, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. John chapter 10. Now in this chapter, we're going to find a couple of those I am statements that I just mentioned. And when Jesus spoke those words, I am, there was power in those words. Because it was Almighty God speaking through that body. Praise the Lord. In fact, when we get to John chapter 14 in a few weeks, we're going to see that Jesus clearly tells us that God's Spirit was in him, working through him, and he also told us that he that hath seen me hath seen the Father, because we understand that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. And we know that he is the express image of his person. Therefore, the only way to know God is to know Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. But John chapter 10, verse 1 tells us, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now that's already an important and a powerful verse. We live in a world today where you see all of these religions who are trying to join together. Ecumenism. They say, let's all be one. And they say, let's join Christianity and Judaism and Islam. Let's join it all together. In fact, some churches, they have what they call Chrislam. They say, let's join together, and you'll be driving in your car. Sometimes you might see a coexist bumper sticker. They have these little symbols of various religions. I wouldn't say every religion, but the various religions, and it spells out coexist. Coexist. Now, is that what the scriptures tell us to do? Does it tell us to coexist? Hey, we're not supposed to have any fellowship with the works of darkness. And those other religions are not worshiping the same God. I know that the Catholic Church teaches that Islam worships the same God as Christians do, but that's not the case. It may be the same God that Catholics worship, but it's not the same God that Christians worship. We need to understand that. There is only one way to God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. It's through Jesus. You know, when Noah was given instructions to prepare that ark, to build that ark, there was one door.
Right.
One door to salvation.
Right.
And in like manner today, there is one door and one way to salvation. And that is Jesus Christ.
Right.
So that's a powerful verse. And it just goes to show that a lot of people do not have spiritual discernment. You know, we're not supposed to mix together with all those other religions. When you do that, you're going to have something unclean. You're going to have something impure. You're going to have something adulterated. And we can never have that. In fact, we are called to be holy, and to be holy is to be separate.
But this scripture verse clearly tells us there's only one door, only one way, and anybody who tries to go another way is a thief and a robber. Look, nobody is going to sneak into heaven. Nobody is going to find themselves in heaven accidentally. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus. Verse 2 tells us, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Praise God. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. He came to seek and to save us when we were lost, wandering about, not knowing where we were going. Remember the story of the lost sheep that Jesus told? How there was 100 sheep and one went missing, and the shepherd went seeking that lost sheep. And he rejoiced over that sheep when it was found, more than the 99. But he came to seek us. He came to save us. He came as our shepherd to lead us. Verse 4, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." If you belong to the Lord, if you are one of his sheep, you will hear his voice. You know, everyone in this world, they're either a goat or a sheep. Remember when Jesus told that story? There will be a separation, the sheep from the goat, the wheat from the tares. But everyone in this world is either a goat or a sheep. And if you are a sheep, if you belong to the Lord, you will hear his voice. Now, people might not like that very much, to think of themselves as a sheep, because, well, you know, sheep aren't the most intelligent of animals, but one thing they do is they follow their shepherd and they hear his voice. You know, sheep, the animals, they actually respond to the voice of their shepherd. And if another guy comes along and tries to call them, they don't answer, they don't heed, because they know the voice of their shepherd. And we, in like manner, know our Savior. We know that it is Jesus Christ. And so we heed his voice. Verse 5 tells us, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Jesus Christ is not only the shepherd, but he is the door. And you will find that he really is our everything. He is the one who sustains us. And you look at the I am statements that he made. I am the bread of life. Well, you need bread to live, right? I am the light of the world. You need light to see. He's the door of the sheep. You need that door so you can go the right way. You need that shepherd so he can lead us. And of course, it's all about the life that he has given us. People who do not know the Lord are dead and they don't even realize it. But Jesus tells them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Oh, praise God. Yes, he gives us life, and he puts his Spirit in us. We'll see that too when we get to John chapter 14. He said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." He has promised to give us his Spirit, and when he does that, he gives us life and more abundantly. Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And that's another thing about good shepherds. They love their sheep so much that they're willing to die for those sheep.
And Jesus loved us so much that He was willing to die for us. He went to that cross at Calvary to save us, to pay the penalty for our sins because He loved us so much. And that's just mind-boggling. You know, an ordinary person would never do that. Can you imagine going up to someone and saying, "How would you like to die for the sins of the whole world?" And you know what? I don't think anyone would agree to do that. And yet, Jesus did it for us. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, it tells us in verse 11. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. You know, there are people today that are called pastors, and really, pastor, what the word pastor means is shepherd. And we know that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, but there are pastors also that are called to guide the sheep. And we guide the sheep towards the good shepherd. That's the job. But there are a lot of ministers out there who are hirelings, and they're doing it because it's a job. They're doing it for the money. And you get a lot of these prosperity preachers who have millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And you have to wonder, why are they still collecting money when they already have so much? Isn't that enough? And why don't they spend some of that money to do some good with it? You know, sometimes God does allow His people to become rich. That's up to Him. Some of us are poor, some of us are rich, and we don't look at each other in envy, but we appreciate whatever God has given us. But the Scriptures do tell us that if God blesses you with a lot, it's so that you can do good with it. And that's something we need to understand. And if you have great wealth, there is a great responsibility there. But there are people, religious figures, who they may act pious or holy, and they may preach a good sermon, a rousing sermon sometimes. But when it comes down to it, really all they care about is the job and the money. You know, the other day I was working on an old recording, and of course it was my dad. He was teaching at Pickett, and he mentioned the story of this would have been back in the early 90s, but he said he was looking at a Dear Abby column, and a man wrote into Dear Abby, and he was concerned. His problem was he was a minister, and he was a married man, of course, but he was interested in another woman. And his biggest concern in this letter that he wrote to Dear Abby is that if he pursues this, he would lose his job. Lose his job. That was his big concern. No concern for his own soul, but he was concerned that he would lose his job. And in a case like that, it's pretty easy to see that such a person is a hireling. They don't care really about the sheep. They care about the money. I tell you what though, when you're truly preaching the gospel, a lot of times you'll find that it's not a very lucrative thing at all. I know that much to be true. But here we see Jesus' warning of these hirelings. Verse 12, "But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep." And that's true too, isn't it? A lot of these pastors, when things get difficult in a congregation, they up and leave and go find a different church. Some of them are always moving around, aren't they? Verse 13, "The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." And one of the wonderful things about Jesus Christ is we know that He will never leave us. He will never abandon us. He promised, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Isn't that wonderful to know? Praise the Lord. But it tells us, "I am the good shepherd," in verse 14, "and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You know who Jesus was talking about in that verse? Us. He was talking about those other sheep in the future who would believe on Him, and He would bring us all together into one fold. He would gather His people from every corner of the earth, from the north, the south, the east, the west. He gathers His people together, His sheep gathered together into one fold.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Verse 16 tells us, I'll read it again, another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Isn't that amazing? You know, Jesus once said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Talking about His own body, not that temple they had there on earth that would be forsaken in a short period of time. It wasn't much longer after that when Jesus said, your house is left on you desolate. But He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Showing that He was going to raise Himself up. Showing that the Scriptures tell us that God raised Him up. So that tells us that Jesus Christ is God. You see how that works? But He says here, I lay down my life that I might take it again. Oh yes, He raised Himself up. Verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And that's what He came to do as the Good Shepherd, to lay down His life for us, but He did so voluntarily. He had no sin of His own. We know that the book of Romans tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But Jesus had no sin, and the only reason He was able to die is because He took our sins upon Himself. If we had been able to live such a life where we had never sinned, then we wouldn't die either. But no man has ever done that except for Jesus Christ. He's the only one who ever lived a perfect, sinless life. And He also kept that old covenant law perfectly and fulfilled it. But He did something that we could not do, we could never do, and He did it voluntarily. He gave His life voluntarily. Now, those religious folks back then who were so angry at Jesus for destroying their religion, they thought they were doing it. They thought that they were killing Him. But when the spirits that were inside of those people realized what was happening, that a war was being waged and that the devil was being destroyed, they changed their tune, didn't they? They told Jesus to come down off that cross. But He didn't do it because He gave His life willingly for us so that we can be free from sin and so that we can have eternal life. Praise God. But it tells us in verse 19, there was a division therefore among them, therefore again among the Jews, for these sayings. And there was always a lot of divisions when Jesus was around. They were always having these conversations, some saying He was holy and the righteous prophet, and some even saying that He was the Messiah. But there are always those doubters. But you know, Jesus Christ came as our good shepherd. He is our good shepherd. He came to show us the way and to lead us. And I think it's wonderful that throughout the Old Testament, we find many prophecies of Jesus. We're going to look at one of those prophecies right now in Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. You know, there was a problem in Israel, a problem that had been going on for a long time. They had their religious structure. They had their priests, they had their Pharisees, they had their scribes, and these people
were supposed to be leading the common man, the Israelites, but they weren't doing a very good job of it. As Jesus said, they were hirelings, and they are going to be called out in his 34th chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 34 verse 1 tells us, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them." And that's true. Those Pharisees, they were very dogmatic in their faith and their religion. It wasn't really faith at all. It was more of a religious structure. But they had all of these rules and these burdens that they put upon the people. And it's really quite cruel, too. You know, all of the things, the rituals and so forth that they would make people go through. Oh, you have to do this, you have to do that, or you won't be saved. In other words, what they were telling the people is that you have to earn your own salvation, which is something we can never do because it is a gift from God. We are saved by grace. Praise the Lord. But here it tells us in Ezekiel 34, verse 4, that these shepherds ruled with force and with cruelty. Verse 5 tells us, "And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." And that is what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to seek out the lost sheep. "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from among the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold. And in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel." Now we know that Jesus Christ is our shepherd and he is leading the sheep, but where is he leading us to? He's leading us to that new Jerusalem, that heavenly kingdom. And when we get there, we are going to have blessings unlike anything we've ever experienced in this world. But that is where he is leading us to. The Jerusalem, which is above, is free and is the mother of us all. And that's where we are headed if we continue to follow the shepherd, if we continue to follow the Savior.
But it says in verse 14, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Oh yes, He gives us rest.
Amen.
Our rest is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. Verse 16, I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. All of these abuses are going to be set right. God is the judge. And you know, you may look around in this world, you may think it's not fair, there's no justice. And that's true. This world is not fair. It's never been fair, it's never going to be fair, but God is a righteous judge and He is completely fair. And one day we are all going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to have to give an account of our lives. But if our sins have been washed away by His blood, then when He opens that book, there won't be any sins recorded because those sins are washed away. But all of this inequity, all of this injustice, everything will be set right in due time by the Lord. Verse 20, therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Who is that talking about there? Well, we know that King David, at this point, he had been dead and buried for quite a while. This is talking about that son of David who would come forth, the Lord Jesus Christ, who descended from David. He is the shepherd.
Amen.
And He feeds us and leads us and guides us. Praise God. Verse 24, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. You know, Jesus came and He established a new covenant, and that is a covenant of peace. We have the promise of peace for all eternity when we get to heaven. Verse 26, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And a tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. So it comes right out and tells us what this is talking about.
Praise the Lord.
The flock is men and women and children. But Jesus Christ is the shepherd. Praise the Lord. And that is such a beautiful chapter and a beautiful promise. Let's go back to John chapter 10. Back in John chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." You know, Jesus Christ came in the form of a servant, and he died for us. Believe me, dwelling inside a man was a step down. But he humbled himself and made himself obedient unto death. In fact, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 tell us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." He came, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death for us. And he didn't have to do any of that, but he gave himself willingly for us. And we owe him everything for that. But though he came as in the form of a man and humbled himself and became obedient unto death, he is highly exalted. And he has that name which is above every name. There is no name greater than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is telling them all these things, and as I mentioned, there was a division, as there so often was. Verse 19, "There was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Now isn't that quite something? Jesus Christ was standing there before them. God manifest in the flesh, God robed in flesh, wearing a human body. And they said, "He hath a devil." Talk about being completely devoid of any spiritual discernment. Talk about having no understanding. You know, these people, they read those Old Testament scriptures. They knew about Ezekiel chapter 34 and all the other prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. They didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize who was standing before them. And they were so twisted around that they actually thought Jesus had a devil. Verse 21 says, "Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" And of course, last week, we studied how Jesus healed that blind man. And it was on the Sabbath day, so the Jewish people, the religious Jewish people, were upset about that, the Pharisees, and they accused Jesus of being a sinner because he dared to heal a man on the Sabbath day. But Jesus plainly said time and time again that it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And he showed us that in his actions. He also demonstrated their hypocrisy. You know, those Jewish people, they were so self-righteous, but if one of their animals fell in a pit, they would pull it out, wouldn't they, even if it was the Sabbath day? But they were so lacking in discernment that some of them thought, he's a sinner because he does not keep the Sabbath day. And because he makes himself equal with God, well, he's not just equal with God, he is God. But others
They were thinking a little bit, and they said, "Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" They realized that Jesus was doing good things, and they were stirred in their souls. Some people actually had enough discernment to realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Anointed One. But there were others who quite violently rejected the Lord Jesus, and that's a very sad thing. You know, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no other hope for you. There's nothing else that's going to save you. Verse 22, "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter." Now, the feast of the dedication is something that you may have heard of. It's commonly called Hanukkah today. And, of course, we know that that was an 8-day celebration. Well, it still is an 8-day celebration. And they were celebrating the rededication of the temple after it had been taken over by the Greek Empire. And then there was a rebellion. And the Jewish people went in there and they overthrew those Greeks who had defiled the temple. They were burning swine and so forth in there. And there was a rebellion led by a man named Judah Maccabee. And of course, the name Maccabee actually means hammer. So they were eventually victorious in driving those people out of the temple, and they replaced the altar that had been defiled with a new altar. And there's a legend, which has never been verified, but it's a legend that they have, that when they were restoring the temple and cleansing the temple, they needed oil. And they found one jug of it, one jug of oil to burn, and it was just a little jug of olive oil, and they say that it was only enough to last one day, but it ended up lasting 8, and that's why there's 8 days in Hanukkah. So that was the Feast of the Dedication, and this was the time of year where this story takes place. Jesus was there at the temple, and he obviously had been spending quite a bit of time at Jerusalem and at the temple, because we know that he was also there for the Feast of the Tabernacles, which takes place in the fall. And here we see he's there in the winter. But by the way, regarding Hanukkah, that was never a feast that was even prescribed by God. That was something they came up with on their own. I guess it's just because they like their feasts and their festivals so much. But in case you were wondering what that is, the Feast of the Dedication, that was an 8-day festival. They still celebrate it today, and they call it Hanukkah now. Verse 23 tells us, "And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch." And that would have been, I believe, on the east side of the temple. It was kind of an enclosed outer court where you could go in and have shelter from the storms and the weather and the rain. And a lot of times people would gather there. And you can read about that in the book of Acts, gatherings on Solomon's porch as well. So that's where Jesus was. He was at Solomon's porch, and verse 24 tells us, "Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Now, isn't it something here? There were times when he did tell people plainly who he is. Remember the story of the Samaritan woman and the Samaritans who came unto him after he had spoken with that woman? He told them plainly that he is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ. And last week, we know that he came to that man who had healed of his blindness, and he asked him if he believed on the Son of God, and the man wanted to know, well, who is the Son of God? And Jesus told him, the one speaking with you. And that man believed it. You know, some people have ears to hear, some people don't. But those who had ears to hear, Jesus revealed himself to them. He revealed himself to his sheep. You understand that? Not everyone has ears to hear. So they came to him again. And verse 24 tells us, "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not.
The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. You know, the things Jesus came and did, that should have been evident who he was and who he is. But they couldn't see it. Not only did they not have ears to hear, they didn't have eyes to see. They didn't know who Jesus is. In fact, they were often asking and saying, we don't know from whence he is. We don't know where he came from. In fact, that was a part of the story last week with that blind man. You know, after he was healed, they said, don't worship Jesus. Give glory to God. And they said, well, we don't know whence this man is. We don't know where he's from. And what was his response? His response, well, it tells us in John chapter 9, which we just looked at, we know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. You see, he had discernment. Not only did God open his blind eyes, but he opened his spiritual eyes so that he knew and understood who Jesus is. And I think that's wonderful. But these Jews couldn't understand it. They couldn't see it. Jesus could have come out and plainly told them, yes, I am the Christ, I am the Savior, I am the Messiah, and they would not have believed it. In fact, in verse 25, it tells us, I told you and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Why couldn't they believe? Because they weren't his sheep. Which just goes to show that that doctrine that Jews are saved just because they're Jews is completely false. Not every Jew is a sheep. In fact, a lot of them aren't. Did you know that a lot of modern-day Jews who live in Israel are actually atheists? Atheists are not God's sheep. That much should be evident. And that doesn't mean that Jewish people can't be saved. They certainly can be saved, but they're saved the same way everybody else is, through Jesus Christ. He is the door. And anyone who tries to go another way is a thief and a robber. But verse 27 tells us, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. They are one. There's no separation. They are one. You can't remove one from the other. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They didn't like that at all. Because what Jesus was really telling them right here is that he is God. And every time he did that, that's the reaction. They wanted to kill him. Remember when he looked at them and said, before Abraham was, I am? They wanted to kill him for that. And here we see they wanted to kill him again. Verse 32, Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Ooh. They were actually perceptive enough to realize that Jesus was saying that he is God. And that made them angry. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? Now this is interesting here. You see this word gods, and it's lowercase. And in some cases, when you see the word God in lowercase like that, it's referring to mighty men. In fact, Jesus here is actually referencing Psalm 82. Why don't we go back and look at that for a moment? Psalm 82. Psalm 82.
Psalm 82, verse 1 tells us, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. So even though the word gods was used there lowercase, it was referring to mighty men who would eventually die. They were not deities, and they certainly weren't, you know, ever all-powerful beings like our God is. So we need to understand the difference here. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. So Jesus there was referencing back to that. And in some cases, that word would sometimes be used to denote a mighty man, but they weren't really gods in the way we understand God to be, just so we all understand that. But here we see they're outraged and upset because Jesus Christ was really telling them that He is Almighty God. Mm-hmm. Verse 37, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. Boy, they were angry. They were mad. They wanted to take him. They wanted to destroy him, but they couldn't because it wasn't his time yet. And we know that Jesus laid down his life voluntarily. It wasn't going to happen until the time was right. And his ministry was not over yet. In fact, I believe this would have been about a year before, well, not quite a full year, maybe half a year or so before Jesus finally did go on trial and was taken and hung on that cross. But his time was not yet. He still had more work to do. Verse 40 tells us, I'll read 39 with it to complete the thought. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Praise God. And you know, it's a wonderful thing that God leads us as our great shepherd. And there's another psalm that's quite well known. It's read often. We're going to look at it one more time. Psalm 23. Because the scriptures tell us, John chapter 10 tells us that Jesus Christ is our great shepherd. He's our good shepherd. But it also tells us in Psalm 23 that the Lord is our shepherd. Now, how can that be? It's because Jesus Christ is, well, what did he say? I and my Father are one. Jesus Christ is God. Psalm 23 tells us in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know why goodness and mercy follows us? Because we follow the shepherd. He leads us along. The Lord is our shepherd, but that means that Jesus Christ is our shepherd. It's the same thing. And He has promised us that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I tell you what, when we get there, that promise is going to mean everything to us. You know, we live in a world today that is just filled with trouble. Filled with trouble. I am actually in the middle of writing the next newsletter right now. And, you know, these scientists, they don't like to say they're panicking, but you listen to them talk, and they kind of are. They're saying that, well, they kind of make it out to be that this world is a hopeless case. That this world is hopeless. And they say that this earth is eventually going to be destroyed entirely, and the only chance that humanity has is to expand out into outer space and go to Mars. Mm-hmm. Have you ever wondered why you're hearing so many stories on the news lately about going to Mars? Because they say that we have to escape this planet, and they are desperate to do that. We aren't fearful as they are, for we understand this promise that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, I would rather dwell in the house of the Lord forever than live on Mars. But it should be an interesting newsletter. There's a lot of things going on. And of course, right now we got the young people who are literally calling for a revolution. We'll see what happens with all of that, but I'll be covering that as well, among other topics. So it should be an interesting newsletter for sure. But here we see Psalm 23, the Lord is our shepherd. And if we continue to follow our Savior all the days of our lives, if we are obedient to Him, then we obtain that promise and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever with our good shepherd, with our Redeemer, with our Savior, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. We're going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee for Thy goodness, for Thy mercy, for Thy grace. And I pray, O God, that we would be mindful of Thee each and every day, that we would follow Thee as our shepherd, walking with Thee each and every day. And I pray, O God, that Thou would bless us, that Thou would lead us by Thy mighty hand, that we would be fully focused on Thee, fully trusting Thee, fully obedient to Thee. Lead us by Thy mighty hand, fill us all with Thy Spirit, give us Thy precious Holy Ghost, we pray. And we ask, O God, that Thou would continue to strengthen Thy people and help us and lead us in all things. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. We are going to sing a chorus in closing, if you can find your chorus book. Praise God. And we are going to go to number 106 and sing, He is My Everything, number 106. My everything, He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave His life for me, made everything new. Everything. Now, how about you? He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. For me, made everything new. He is my everything. Now, how about you? He is my everything. He is my all.
small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything. Now, how about you? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
You are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.